Thank you, Mr. Parman. How about that? I got promoted. I'm one of his friends. Hey, I like that. I hope we all can be not only friends, but family members. Well, many years ago, before you and I were born, our parents made preparation to become parents. They prepared to bring us into life, through birth. Whether it was a simple birth or whether it was elaborate, others may have been involved, such as doctors and nurses and hospitals or a midwife. Nevertheless, our birth was prepared for. And as you grew, you began other preparations, whether willingly or unwillingly, like going to grade school. For each of us prepared for adult life. For me, it took 2 years to get through kindergarten. Maybe you just breezed through it, I don't know. But we went through grade school and we went through junior high school, or now I think they call it middle school. We went through high school and started facing choices of what classes would we take and what hours would we go to school, etc. And then during the summer, there were camps and there were scouts and there were clubs and there were baseball teams and football teams and other things. Then you got to college and you had harder choices. What were you going to emphasize in your education? Were you going to go into some vocational trade like the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker? What were you going to do for the rest of your life as an employment? Regardless, the conclusion of all these preparations was to turn out a well-balanced, competent adult. And some of you are. I wish I qualified. No. But anyway, that's what all these preparations were for. We have gone through them, or for the younger people, you're now going through them. All these preparations. And as we go through our life, you find different ones. Like myself, for instance. I'm preparing to retire from the workaday world. It will come eventually, sometime. But we're working at it. We're putting money away. I put $1.298 away yesterday. We evaluate our life and our future. What are we going to do when we step away from the job? Are we going to have something to occupy our minds and our bodies? That is important. What to do rather than just punch the clock. Perhaps you'll get into budgeting. One of ours, can I afford to retire? A lot of our money has gone down the tube here lately. Perhaps it is shedding the debris you have accumulated over the many years. But these six steps, the preparation for birth, the school, the college, the career, and then finally retirement, take us from the beginning of our life all the way through to our 60s. Yet, with all these dozens of years of preparation and living, there is one area few of us seldom fully prepare for. And if we fail or ignore this preparation, then it is not just to our own peril, but to the peril of our husbands, our wives, our children, our families, and our friends. So it's frequently ignored and put on the back burner because of all of these implications. And our culture, what we live in, this environment, does not encourage this preparation. Even though there are many voices crying or calling to us to do this. Fear sometimes hinders us. We must look at mortality eyeball to eyeball, face to face, the consequences of aging, the consequences of death. Mr. Krieger brought that up a couple of weeks ago. No matter how young we are, no matter how vigorous and vibrant and enthusiastic we are, it is something that we all must face. The consequences of age and eventual death will claim everyone in this room. You don't get out of this life alive. It says so right here in the book. It also affects everyone out there too. So we can't escape it. So our choice today, not yesterday, but today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Mr. Krieger showed that. There may not be a tomorrow. Thankfully for him, it did come. But there are others that have brushed through the door, by the door of death. So today is whether we prepare or not. And to help our families transition smoothly through, we have known several families in the recent years that have faced death, the death of their loved one. We have seen widows mired in financial ruin, where the husband, the main provider, did not leave a will, did not share with his wife their financial status, where the survivor is just barely scraping by. It's like walking through a swamp with concrete boots on. Let's turn over to Proverbs 22, verse 3, please. 22, verse 3. Solomon writes, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Not only are you punished, but your wife and your husband and your children and your friends are also punished by not doing anything about this. Frustration, anger, disillusionment, and near financial ruin faces all too many women and families. Is this the kind of legacy that you want to leave to your family? Let's look back a couple of months, back into November. In the United News, there was an article written by a pastor you know, Rex Sexton. It's called "Plan for the Future, Even If You Don't Want To." Because folks, you're getting there just like I am. I didn't get these gray hairs willingly. They came. So we have to plan for the future. Brian Krieger didn't really want to plan the way he was forced to. So we're going to go through this article, a few points. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to pick out a few. First of all, he says, adequate life insurance. What is life insurance? It's taking a dollar bill and buying $20 with it. But with life insurance, if you're young enough, you can buy a whole lot more than just $20 with a $1 bill. It's a promise to pay. If you're a magician, you might be able to turn a dollar into a 20. I'm not. Let's take an example, which I did on the internet. Let's say you're age 35, you're a male, you don't smoke, I hope, and otherwise in good health. For $360, less than a dollar a day by a few pennies, you can turn that dollar a day into $500,000 if you choose to. That's a ratio of $1 to $1,389. Not a bad return on your investment, should you have to redeem it. What's this do? This supports your wife or your husband or your children when you're not there. Let's look at Proverbs 13:22. Since we're here in Proverbs 13:22, which says, a good man or a good woman leaves an inheritance to his children's children, grandchildren, in other words. So a good man or woman leaves an inheritance for their grandchildren. Don't you want your grandchildren to succeed? Don't you want your children to succeed? Of course you do. That's what it's all about. Let's go on to what Mr. Sexton writes. Any husband who does not provide enough life insurance to take care of his widow is not showing love for his wife. He continues in another paragraph. The best time to purchase protection for your family is when you are young, healthy, and can qualify for less expensive rates. We looked at age 35. $360 a year buys $500,000 for 20 years. $360 a year for 20 years is $500,000. You may not need $500,000 for your family. You may only need $300,000, or you may need $1.5 million. That's something you have to sit down and figure out. Item number two, list all things financial. Basically, what he's saying is sit down and create a treasure map for your family, a treasure map. Here's what he says about this. Complete list of all things financial. Real estate, retirement accounts, insurance, valuables, everything. Not just the amounts of how much you have, but where everything is located and can be found. There should be a file, safe deposit box, or other place where all these records are kept in case of fire or flood. We husbands sometimes invest money or put in places without telling our wives. And sometimes you wives do the same thing. Some widows are completely in the dark about their husband's financial dealings. He quotes a book, says, the man who has never told his wife exactly how much he is worth has never told her that he loves her. So, perhaps we should do that. Tell our wives what our 401k is, or our IRAs, or both. Tell our wives about any real estate we may have, or bonds, or life insurance. It's hard to sort things out after the fact. We have had to sort out my mother's things. My mother has severe dementia. I have the power of attorney over her. I have had to take guardianship of her for her own physical well-being. But it's kind of hard to go backwards and find out what she has done. We have tried to apply for DSHS for Medicaid, which has a financial limit of how much she can have. Well, we found another insurance policy that had cash value to it. We also found out that there's a difference between what Section 8 housing will allow for a burial account and what DSHS will allow for a burial account. Bingo! Application denied. Too much money. $600. That's all it takes. $100 would have been too much. Let's turn over to Genesis 25. Real quick. Genesis 25. We're going to see somebody that prepared. Verses 9 through 11. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him, speaking of Abraham, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried and Sarah his wife. Abraham thought ahead. He made preparations. Also, Jacob did too, if you want to look up in chapter 33, verse 19. Let's go on to item number 3. Have a properly prepared will or estate plan. Mr. Sexton writes, no matter how little a family has, every married person should have a will for the protection of the spouse. If you die without a will, intestate, then the government, the state, has a default will that will apply. Some of these default wills can cause tremendous family problems. Let's say you die intestate. You have 4 children and, of course, your wife. Okay? How will your estate be divided? All of it goes to your wife? Some of it goes to your children? Exactly how? It's divided 5 ways. Equally. The best I know. Maybe you don't want that. You better make up your mind before the time comes. Dying without a will can be a curse to your wife and children. If you want them to say nice things about you when you are gone, make preparations now, is the way Mr. Sexton ends that. Basically, it's just saying, look, folks, this is what I want done with my things after I die. Here's another experience that we've learned from my mother. Again, she has dementia. This is before I took guardianship. We took her down to our financial institution to get a new will notarized, a power of attorney notarized, and so forth. Well, all of a sudden we ran into a blockage. The financial institution would not notarize the documents. And she just bucked up after the first one and said, no, I'm done, I'm finished. And we were left hanging. You'll also, Mr. Sexton points out, you'll want to get professional legal advice and a good estate plan if you need one. There's safety in counsel. I don't need to go through the various scriptures about that. You know them. Proverbs 11, chapter 15, verse 22, and Luke. It's the best time to do it is before you need them. You also need to prepare for disability. This is his fifth point. Here's some statistics. 51.2 million people in the United States, 18% of the population, have some form of disability. This was in 2006. 32.5 million have a severe disability. 12% of the population. 11% of the children have a disability. So it's something that happens as frequently or more frequently than deaf that we need to prepare for. And he comes on with two other points too, items 6 and 7, which I'm not going to go through. You need to read this article. Simple. Not only read it, but work on it. Whether a man or a woman, you need to prepare for the end. We all need to prepare and review regularly, especially if there's a major change in our life. We get married, we have a child, we move to a new house or a lesser house, or we make some other acquisition, or we inherit other monies, or whatever the case is. We need to review it regularly. Whether married or single, whether we're a senior citizen, whether we're younger or older, it doesn't make any difference. We need to begin today. There is no substitution. Failure only leads to anxiety, to pain, and suffering. I don't know about you or your situation, but I know about ours. And I know that we still have work to do. We still have some preparations to do. Time and circumstance is waiting on us, and it's waiting on you. Now's the time to begin.